We come today to the book of Exodus. This is study number one in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Exodus. Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to the word that we are about to read in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 1, verse 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob. The names here would be the sons of Jacob or the sons of Israel. And I will not read these names, but let's skip down to verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brothers, and all that generation. And so the original generation of Jacob and his sons died. So it's a new era for the Israelites down in Egypt. Verse 7. But the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Consider this. From the time God called Abraham to leave his home and go to the promised land, to the time that the Israelites left Egypt, there were 430 years. Now think about this. During the first 215 years, they grew from one person, Abraham, to 70. During the last 215 years, they went from 70 to about 600,000 men, and add women and children to that. Yeah, I would say they multiplied in Egypt. Verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt, who did not know Joseph. The newest king did not know about Joseph and did not care what he did to save the nation. Verse 9, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. And of course he is exaggerating. This is political demagoguery. But he is intimidated by Israel, and he wants to stir up support for his plan to beat them down. Verse 10. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and it happen, in the event of war, that they also join our enemies and fight against us, and so go up out of the land. Egypt was not getting along with her neighbor on the west, or her neighbor on the south. Plus, there are hundreds of thousands of Israelites living within her borders, and that is why the king is nervous. 11. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. Pharaoh figures he can wear the Israelites out with hard work. Driving them like animals to work will be good for the economy, plus they'll be too tired to fight. 12. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were in dread of the children of Israel. The Egyptians tried to work the Israelites to death, but Israel just grew stronger. Verse 13. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor. In other words, they got even more cruel to Israel. They are being forced to work even harder. Israel is hanging in there, but Egypt is trying to discourage them. 14. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Many people have jobs they do not like, but boy, at least in America there's hope that you may find something better. Not so with the Israelites. Verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other Puah. Verse 16. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. Pharaoh orders the midwives to commit murder. And Satan is behind it all. Don't worry, the devil heard God's promise to Adam that a redeemer who would crush the head of the serpent would come into the world. And Satan also knew that the deliverer would come through the offspring of Jacob. And so the devil is trying to cut off the line of the Messiah, making it impossible for the Savior to be born. 17. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. It takes courage to disobey the order of a king, and it takes faith. Verse 18. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive?" Boy, you have to be a moral reprobate to even ask such a foolish question. Why didn't you kill the baby boys? What kind of question is that? If the king has to ask that question, no answer could possibly satisfy him. 19. And the midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them." It is not okay to lie to avoid being punished for righteousness' sake. God allows us to be put in tight spots like this so that we can testify to our faith in Him. It may cost us something, it may cost us our lives, but that's why He allows these situations. 20. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew mightily. And so they were blessed because they did not commit the sin of murder. Someone says, well, how could God bless them since they lied? I don't know. Why does God bless us, even though we sin sometimes? God is much nicer than He needs to be. That's why. 21. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that He provided households for them. For saving the little babies, God built up the families of the midwives. Verse 22. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." A new command from Pharaoh. Any Egyptian who sees a Hebrew baby boy is ordered to kill him by throwing him into the Nile River. Chapter 2, verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. The entire Egyptian population has been deputized to look for Hebrew babies to kill. As a result, this couple hides their little boy for 3 months. Verse 3. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. His mother knew what she was doing. She did not put her baby in the current and wonder where he'd end up. She put him by the bank next to the reeds. She put that basket where she hoped Pharaoh's daughter would find it. 4. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Miriam is the sister's name. She is watching to see if anyone picks up her little brother, and if they do, what they do with him. 5. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. Pharaoh's daughter, whose name, according to Jewish writers, was Bithiah, is bathing when she spots the basket. 6. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him, and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." And you know what? I believe God had this all planned out. As soon as she opened up that basket, God caused little baby Moses there to cry. And boy, her heart just melted when she saw that. She knows it's Hebrew because it is circumcised. But her father's not going to kill this one. There's no way. She just will not let it happen. Verse 7. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" Quick thinking by Miriam to offer to find a Hebrew woman who could nurse this baby. And Miriam knows where she can find one too. Check it out in verse 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. You know, Moses' mother had probably thought, "I would love to nurse my little baby, but it won't happen. It cannot happen. It's way too much to expect." But look how God did the unexpected. 9. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. How do you like that one? Her baby isn't going to just live. And she isn't just going to be nursing her baby. Pharaoh's daughter is going to pay her to nurse her own baby. And what you see here is God delivering the future deliverer. 10. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." And according to Jewish tradition, Pharaoh's daughter was the only child of the king. If that is true, that means Moses is the next king of Egypt. Verse 11. Now it came to pass, in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. 40 years pass between verses 10 and 11. And I do not know when Moses found out that he was Hebrew. But when he did, he went to them and saw their misery. And he determined to do something about it. Verse 12. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Even here, Moses is showing the heart of a deliverer. He killed this Egyptian and saved his fellow Israelite. Verse 13. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" And Jewish writers say that the two Hebrews here were Dathan and Abiram. Verse 14. Then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Well, that's gratitude for you. Moses goes out on a limb to save a Hebrew from an Egyptian, and in return he is reproached by this fellow Hebrew. And either someone saw him kill the Egyptian, or the guy he saved is talking about it. But either way, this isn't good, because the secret is out. Verse 15. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. God's sovereignty was actually behind Moses' running. Moses has the heart of a deliverer, but he is not ready for the job, not yet. And the time for Israel to leave Egypt has not yet come either. Moses will shepherd sheep in Midian for the next 40 years in preparation for shepherding the children of Israel. We'll pick up our study in verse 16 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.